God's a perfect psalm. Song for this morning's. Am I beyond? Okay. I'm not on. I'm on. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 3 and then Romans chapter 8. Better hurry up. They're leaving you. Ew. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good and seek, and let him seek peace and ensue it. Okay, that verse 9, when you see rendering evil for evil, the tendency is to think that's an action of evil towards another, but the context of 9 and 10 is the words that are the words that are expressed out of one's mouth. Evil for evil, that stems from the mouth, the words. Railing for railing, obviously. So the words that come out of our mouth to people should give forth a blessing in the middle, verse 9. And when your words give forth a blessing, then you inherit a blessing. You reap what you sow. Okay, and so that's dealing with words. So that's where we're heading with this morning. And then Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 1. Okay, Romans 8, 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Okay, no condemnation. Words, most words that are expressed from people are words of condemnation. Okay, road rage, road traffic. Most of your words are words of condemnation towards people. And if you analyze people's speech or words or their conversations, most of the time it will be words of condemnation. So verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, so for a believer who walks according to the Spirit of God, you are under no condemnation. So, since you're not condemned by the Lord, look in chapter 8, verse 37, the outcome of that is a conqueror. In all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, hold your finger here, hold that open, and then we'll come right back to it. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us, help me now to fulfill that admonition of comfort to feeble-minded. I pray you'd give all of us consideration and understanding of the words that we express to others. Should be words that minister grace and hope. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be careful how we use our tongue to please thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you put these two passages together, the First Peter passage is obviously, in your conversations with people, words are expressed. And so he's saying that when people curse you, rail on you, you should turn that around and give them a blessing instead of rail back. Okay? So our words are to be give forth a blessing. When you do that, when you try to live your life like that, then you would inherit a blessing from God. In the Romans passage, you're under no condemnation if you walk after the Spirit. Now, if you're a carnal believer walking after the flesh, you are under the condemnation of God himself, okay, as all unsaved people are. But words of condemnation will be expressed to you throughout the day, and so How do you overcome those things and become a conqueror? Well, verse 38, it says, I'm persuaded. So you have to think about something. You have to analyze the words. Okay, so that's the idea where we're heading this morning, being a conqueror, more than a conqueror. Now, in sports, obviously, guys who get paid multi-million-dollar, you know, millions of dollars, you know, in football, basketball, baseball, when you sit in the stands and listen to the words that people say, it will be, the funniest ones are the words of condemnation. He's a bum, throw out! You know, I mean, when guys get drunk and start throwing words out, it's kind of comical. But here we have athletes that, obviously, they don't hear all of them, because when you have lots of people in a stadium, all you hear is mass noise. You don't hear specific voices. When you have very few people in the audience or at the game, that's when you hear the specific words, or when they're walking on the field when some guy just yells at them. That's when they hear specific words. Okay, when I was a sophomore, I was on junior varsity. We had a basketball tournament, and nobody was in. The fans of our side, we had six people that I counted in the stands. Six. Two of them were my sisters, both cheerleaders. I heard them the entire game. Every word they said, Dave, do this, and Dave, that, and, you know, it was words of encouragement, but I could hear it. When it was a massive thing, like when you got on varsity, you know, you're in front of 2,000 people, you know, at a free throw line, 5 seconds left, all you could hear is mass noise. You could not hear anybody specifically. Okay, and so, but when you're dealing with people, you hear the words that they express. Now, everybody in life is going to face condemnation, and everybody in life is going to face praise or commendations. Everybody hears that. Okay, for a believer that lives according to the Spirit and tries to live to please God and does not conform to the flesh, they will hear words of condemnation from the world. You're a nut. You're an idiot. You know, you're a cultist. I mean, they will do all they can to discourage you, to condemn you, because your life is a conviction to them. But when you face Jesus Christ, that's where the words of commendation comes, words of praise, words of acceptance, where he says, I was pleased with how you lived. Okay, now if a believer gets tired of all those words that are expressed to you, like I was street preaching, you're an idiot, you're a nutcase, you know, blankety blank, you this and that, all these words that are expressed, okay, if a person gets fed up with that and just says, I'm tired of it, I'm just going to live, you know, like a carnal Christian, the world will hug you. They'll appreciate it. And they will give you commendation. Oh, I knew you was one of us. That religious stuff, you know, you just take that a little too far. You know, here, drink this, you know, and here, do this. And you'll get the world's praise. They'll be happy with you. And you'll get good press like Billy Graham. Seriously. I mean, you may not get in the papers to become famous, but the world will approve of you. But when you face your Savior, he will be ashamed of you. And he might even take you and put you over his knee and spank you, according to Luke chapter 12. That's as a parent would do a child. Okay, so everybody is going to face it. You're either, it's a pay me now or pay me later situation. You can face condemnation now and get in front of Jesus Christ and face words of acceptance and praise. Or you can go ahead and accept the praise of the world and the approval of the world now, and then face the condemnation from Jesus Christ. Romans 8 says that when you live according to the flesh, you are under the condemnation of God. It's obviously a temporal thing. But if you live according to the Spirit, there are no condemnation to them who walk according to Christ. Okay, so now when you try to live according to the Lord, according to the world, to the Word of God, and you speak up for Jesus Christ, the world's going to say, you're judging me, you think you're better than me. That's a common thing they say. No, I don't think I'm better than you, but I am better off in that I'm a child of the King. Why? Because I'm persuaded that neither death nor life. You see, so what you're going to do is you're going to hear these words constantly. Now, are you going to allow these words to condemn you more, and you're going to fulfill out these words, or are you going to be more than a conqueror and step up over these words? I mean, these athletes that are quote, Hall of Famers, they have been criticized from day one of their career as far as professionally. They have been admired from day one. Both sides have been coming in there. Okay, and so where's a person going to go in this? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, it says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Now, in 1 Peter, it mentioned railing for railing and things like that. And it mentions that you should have a blessing. It's dealing with our words. So, what comes out of your mouth? If you would look in Job 26, verse 3 and 4. Now, I've mentioned this before, but the words that come out of your mouth, as you breathe those words, spirits go forth with those words. What type of a spirit? When you breathe the words, when I breathe the words, one of three spirits follow those words. And those spirits will try to enforce those words. Okay, one of three spirits. Your personal spirit, your opinion, your attitude. The Lord's spirit or unclean spirits. That's the three. They come out of my mouth, they come out of your mouth, they come out of unsaved people. Yes, an unsaved person can utter words and the Spirit of God go with those words. Don't have to be saved. That comes from all three spirits comes from everybody's mouth, from the words that you express. Job 26, verse 3 and 4 is the authority for this. Verse 3 says, how hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? And how hast thou plentifully declared a thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words? There's the words. And whose spirit came from thee? Now we know this to be true as far as the Bible. These are words that God has uttered, and his spirit goes with the words. Now what does this mean? There is death and life in the power of your tongue and in my tongue. Death and life. Okay, most of you have probably heard of Aleister Crowley. Okay, if you don't know, Aleister Crowley was probably the number one evil guy in the world. That was famous. Okay, Aleister Crowley he called himself the Beast. He was famous for 666. He bought a house in I think Scotland. Okay, and many sacrifices, you know, dead people. Oh, I mean, he was evil, evil. And all, you know, your heavy metal rockers, they think he's a wonderful guy. Even the Beatles back in the 60s, one of their album covers, they had a bunch of pictures of people that they admired. Aleister Crowley's back on the back row. Okay, Aleister Crowley was raised in a Christian home. How can a guy get so bad? Alice Cooper was raised in a Baptist home. How could a guy go from one clear extreme? Now, Aleister Crowley, his father was, a Plymouth Brethren, if I remember correctly. Okay, and he was an evangelist that traveled from Plymouth Brethren, and so his mother obviously raised him home. His mother habitually called him when he would disobey her, "You're so wicked. You're wicked. You're the devil himself." She constantly said that to that kid. Words came out of her mouth, and that child manifested those words. You see? And this is what a person has to realize. Words that come, words of condemnation, "You're worthless." Parent says to their child, "You ain't going to amount to anything." A spirit will take those words and ingrain that within their spirit. Now, as a person grows and gets older, a person up an age, older age, can analyze these words and don't believe them. "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words' names will never hurt me." True, but also untrue. The names can hurt. To the young ones, that they don't recognize that. They don't recognize those words are not true. They believe you. How many of us ever, you know, said to a little kid, oh, watch this. I can tickle the inside of my cheek through my ear and go like, and then they sit there. They believe you. One guy told me he's teased his little brother, and he said, watch me, I can take my finger and stick it all the way up my nose. He went like this, and he's, oh, like this. And he said for hours his brother was going, trying to get it up there, you know. And, you know, kids believe it. And so when children hear their parents say, you're a loser, you're stupid, you're an idiot, you can't do anything right, you ain't going to amount to anything. When they hear those words, that gets into their spirit. You see? Now, as they grow older, they tend to get tired of those words, that condemnation that they hear. And what those words are, it's like arrows that go out, and it pricks the heart, and it goes into the heart. Okay? And what happens is that child gets a wounded spirit. If you would look in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. You see, now, words that come from one's enemy is different. That's like water off a duck's back. Words from your enemy should be something that excites you and fires you up. I mean, when I'm on a street corner and a guy calls me a fool, man, I consider the source. That's a compliment. You know, if Ted Kennedy, when the guy was alive, you know, if he would disapprove of somebody, hey, that's probably somebody I liked. You know, if the news media gives somebody bad press, that's probably somebody I agree with. You know what I mean? You take a compliment from a Hillary Clinton, man, that's an insult. You know, if it's coming from her or Obama, anything like that. You know, when I was on a street corner, that one kid had a sign next to me, I'm with stupid, pointed at me. Hey, man, I thought that was wonderful. Didn't bother me at all. Taking words from your enemies, that's a compliment. Booze from the crowd, from the other side, is an encouragement to a guy that wants to be, you know, to make it bad for them. You know, before I knew, you know, everybody knows number 13 is bad luck and all that stuff. And before I realized, you know, the badness of that number through high school, my number was 22 all through high school. But when I got up to, when I played at Hiles Anderson, I picked number 13 because I wanted to be bad luck for the other side. That was my intentions. You see, but you see, words from your enemies easily water off a duck's back. But what about people who love you or are at least supposed to love you? That's where it gets confusing. Okay, words of condemnation that are habitually given to a party that should not hear these words. Proverbs 18:14 says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear?" Words are like arrows that go out. Words are like toothpaste, and once you squeeze the tube, you can't put them back. It's like caulking. Once you pull it, you can't put it back in the gun. So words that go out, and a lot of times people will utter words, and these words are curses. You blankety blank. That's a curse. And a spirit goes with those words and puts curses on people. Now, in Proverbs 26, verse 2, it says a curse that is causeless, it doesn't have anything to enforce it, is nothing. Okay, for example, when the Pope throws out a decree that if you believe that the Apocrypha is not supposed to be in the Bible, you are anathema. You're under a curse. I could care less what Papa Pizzeria says. His curses mean nothing to a Bible believer. You see? It's like the curses come and hit the spiritual armor and they bounce off. It means nothing. But words that come from someone that should be given words of blessing confuses the person and wounds their spirit. It wounds their spirit. It creates a wounded heart. Psalm 109, verse 22 mentions somebody with a wounded heart. Psalm 143, verse 3 mentions a wounded heart. And when a person has a wounded spirit, a wounded heart, they cannot feel love. They will say, I don't feel that God loves me. They are often incapable of love. It's like you try to give them love and they spring leaks. Their heart's been wounded. They don't know how to... you ever try to help a wounded animal? What does the animal do? A wounded animal lashes out at the party trying to help them. It's a natural thing. And so you see people lashing out at people. The problem is they've got a wounded spirit. Now the psychologists will call, sometimes they'll say this is a bipolar. Where there's you see, the God has built in the person where when you go through something tragic, you're like in a state of shock where you don't see it. And later on you come across it. And so when a child is constantly hit with words of condemnation, their spirit is wounded. And they're going to lash out at the party that has given forth these words. And they have a difficult time expressing or feeling love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Your words that come out of your mouth should minister grace to somebody, where they grow in grace as a result of you giving forth your words to them. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt." And so the words that are expressed by people, there's death and life in the power of the tongue. So your words of condemnation, my words of condemnation towards anybody, parent with a child, husband with a wife, you know, those are words that are given forth that cut to the soul. And when those words are constant to a person, that their spirit is wounded. And they do not feel love. And you could say, "I love you," but it don't work on them. Why? Because their spirit is wounded and they're springing leaks. So what does a person do when you hear these words of condemnation? Okay, when it's a person that can reason and analyze these words. Paul said, "I am more than conqueror." "You are more than conquerors. And I am persuaded." So it's a words you got to express and analyze. Okay, words come from this source. They said this. Is that true? Are you an idiot? Yeah, I am an idiot sometimes. But sometimes I've done the right thing. You know, people can say all they want, but you can analyze it yourself. Okay, but how about some words that are true? Words that come this area, this way, that hit your wounded spirit. What about let's go into the words of God and see what He has to say about it? The words of God, how about Jesus Christ? Look in John chapter 3. Look in the believer's position in Jesus Christ. Somebody says, "You're worthless." Well, if you're lost, you are worthless. But when you get saved, your life gets some value. John chapter 3, obviously verse 16, the famous one, but look in verse 17. Jesus Christ says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned." When you hear words of condemnation to you, "He that believeth on Him," Jesus Christ, "is not condemned." This person condemns me, but my Savior does not. Say all you want. The opinion I'm taking is much higher than yours. I am not condemned in Jesus Christ. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So, words of condemnation come your way. Words of comfort. Jesus Christ says you're not condemned. Rest in that fact. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 and following. What about when your own heart condemns you? 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 says, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us..." If I forget to do something and I don't have my plans and I got to go back and get something, and I'll say to myself, "You're an idiot. You knucklehead." People call me a knucklehead. Nobody calls me a knucklehead more than I call me a knucklehead. You see, well, you shouldn't say that about yourself. Well, maybe so, maybe not. I don't know if you can or not. You know, am I putting a curse on myself? I don't know if I am. But still at that, what about when your heart really condemns you? Am I saved? I can't be. Man, look at these thoughts that go my through. Man, I can't be. Okay, I must be an idiot. They said I was an idiot. I must be an idiot. I'm not going to amount to anything. What an idiot I am. I'm worthless. You're unworthy, but you're not worthless. You're a child of the King. If you're born again, you are a child of the King. You say, I don't look like it. Neither did Jesus Christ. He was born in a barn. You don't have your kingdom yet, but you're still a child of the King. These are words coming from the Bible where Jesus Christ said you are not condemned, even though somebody else is going to condemn you. Maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your kids, maybe your parents, whatnot. I don't know. But obviously somebody's going to condemn you along the line. The believer is not condemned or worthless. What else does the Bible say? 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creature. I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. Not only that, 1 John 1:7 says, what about my sins and my past? That's forgiven. It's done. I'm cleansed. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You say, well, man always brings it up. Tough! Jesus isn't going to bring it up. I find it interesting, in John chapter 8, a woman that got caught in adultery in the very act, a situation was trying to blackmail Jesus Christ. When the thing was made manifest, Jesus Christ said to the woman, I don't know if she was involved in a blackmail, probably not, but even at that, he said to her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I mean, that's what he said to her. Not only that, how about this one? Ephesians 1 verse 6, I'm accepted in the beloved. People do a lot of things funny. Why? They want to be accepted. They want to be in the peer group. Kids in Chicago join these gangs. When we were up in Hammond, this one girl was in a gang, and their gang, I don't know, must have been a Jewish gang, I don't know, but I know she wasn't Jew, but they couldn't eat pork. And if they served pizza in the afternoon program, she demanded to see the pizza box. She was not going to break her approval, acceptance of the gang by eating pork. Amazing. Why? She wanted to be accepted. Ephesians 1:6 says you're accepted in the beloved. By coming to Jesus Christ, you are accepted. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I mean, this is how, you see, you say, but my spirit's been wounded. Yeah, but the Lord can restore it. Psalm 23 verse 2 says, He restoreth my soul. You see, and that's what a person can do. Now, what do we do? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What do we do with people who have a wounded spirit? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 14. It says this, Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak, be patient toward all men. Now, when you read feeble-minded according to today's definition, that is somebody that's, their elevator don't go all the way up. It's like Bill Snebling says, they're a few fries short of a Happy Meal. All that. They're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I mean, you got all these ideas. Feeble-mindedness has nothing to do with intellectual capacity or lack thereof, or, as they say now, mentally challenged. It's got nothing to do with that. You can see the context, the next phrase. The King James Bible is an amazing thing. It defines its own terms. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Feeble-minded is weak-minded. It's a wounded mind. To wounded heart. If you run the word feeble throughout the Bible, you run it chronologically. The first time it occurs in the Bible is Genesis 30, verse 42. This is when Jacob separated the feeble cattle from the strong cattle. It's the weaker cattle. It wasn't the dumb cows, even though they're all dumb. It was the dumb and the dumber cows. It wasn't that. It was the weak cows. Okay, if you were in Job 4, verse 4, feeble-mindedness or feeble is somebody who's discouraged. Okay, they've been discouraged, they've been wounded. In Isaiah 35, verse 3 and 4, it's somebody who's afraid. Some call it anxiety attacks. That's feeble-mindedness. Okay, it's somebody who's weak. Okay, Jeremiah 6, verse 24. Someone who's under anguish and pain. Jeremiah 49, verse 24 is somebody who's under sorrow. Ezekiel 7, verse 17 is somebody who's weak, and Ezekiel 21, 7 is a faint spirit. Comfort the feeble-minded. This is someone who has a wounded spirit. And how do we comfort them? We comfort them with the words of Jesus Christ. You're not under condemnation with Jesus Christ. You're a child of the King. Yeah, but so-and-so said this. That don't mean anything. It means nothing. You see? And you can come to your Lord and Savior, your Maker, your Savior. You are of value to Him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. John 15, without Him I am nothing, but with Him I am something. You see, where a lot of people say, oh, you are special. There's a fine line in this stuff. You are special is a result of Jesus Christ. You see, that's the key. A place where everybody's a nobody, but yet you become somebody because of Jesus Christ. And your life becomes of value. Okay? There's no believer that is worthless. And so, what you need to do is you reassure the person of the wounded spirit, you reassure them of the love of God. But the problem is that they leak. And eventually, you got to get that spirit restored. Psalms 22, 3, verse 2. Where the Lord can restore their soul. And so they can walk as a conqueror of Jesus Christ. Now, somebody who displayed this attitude of being a conqueror, if you would look in Zechariah 12, verse 8. Zechariah 12, verse 8. The example in the Bible of the... This is a prophecy about the millennium, and the example of the Bible for somebody who's going to be the weakest in the millennium is David. And if you look at David's life, what a conqueror that guy was. Zechariah 12, verse 8, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them, at that day shall be as David. And the house of David shall be as God. Isn't that something? What was David like? Well, here he is, a teenager or a young kid in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And there's the battle of Ben-Hadad, and the Philistines on one side and Israel on the other side. And a big, tall, dark, and ugly thing comes out there. 10-footer. The bulls would have known about him, they'd have probably given him a contract. He wouldn't have had to jump. He could have looked at the rim, eye to eye. I mean, he had minimum 9 foot 9 inches tall. Actually, that was a small giant. But for the Philistines at the time, it was a big one. And here's a kid that's 6 foot tall, got peach fuzz, if he's got that. I didn't even have that when I was at that age. And he sees the guy over on the other side, and here's what that big guy says to him. 1 Samuel 17, verse 43, he says to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And he said, come to me, I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. He said, man, you're for the dogs. He said, come on here, boy. You come over here, boy, and I'll skin you alive. That'd be a scary word. You blankety-blank Jew, come on over here. And David just he's got 5 stones in his pocket. He said, that big blowhard, he's got 4 brothers just like him. I think I'm going to get every one of them. And he just goes out there and gets that thing a whipping. He said, I'm going to get him right between the eyeballs. He said, I know that's hard right there. I know it's a hard spot. That's a hard bone on that guy there, but I'm going to get him. And he gets him right between the eyeballs and knocks him dead, takes his own sword, cuts his head off, and holds the head. Conqueror. That same guy, how can a guy be like that? That same guy, when they had a javelin throwing contest, at the beginning of the game, he elected to receive, at least Saul thought that. And Saul tried to make him a pincushion 2 times, but when Saul died, you would have thought David would rejoice about that, but David didn't rejoice. David forgave Saul for what he did. That's a conqueror. That's a conqueror. That's somebody that doesn't hold a grudge or is defeated by the words that people say to them. That's a conqueror. You see, and if you're going to do anything in life and you want to do something for Jesus Christ, you will face criticism. No questions asked on that. And you'll get it from every source, from sources of people like you that don't like you. You got to be a conqueror. Why? Because Jesus Christ says, I'm not condemned. Jesus Christ said that, or the Bible says that I'm a child of the King. I'm accepted by Him. It doesn't care what people say about you. You see, we're not better than anybody else, but we certainly are. Born-again believers certainly is better off. Got a better future. You see, so the choice is more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. That's conquering the condemning words that people say. Because we're looking forward to the day where Jesus Christ says the words of commendation, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words of promise in this book, words that you said that the believer is not condemned. Now the world is constantly going to condemn us. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to accept your words. And when we hear words of commendation from people that hate us and even people that love us, I pray that you'd help us to rest in the truth of thy words. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be what we can to help ones who have hurt spirits, wounded spirits. They're hurting because of the words that people say to them. And Lord, I pray you'd help them. I ask you to restore their soul so that they might rest in thy love and be a conqueror for thee. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed, the piano play, the altar's open. Wonderful words of life. God gave us those words in His Bible. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be believers that are conquerors in Thee. Even though we hear words of condemnation, I pray you'd help us to accept and believe your words more so than man's words, and to be conquerors for Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.